This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Through the night. One of the most difficult experiences for me, and I don't mind y'all knowing, those who know me know I'm an avid storm chaser. I love chasing storms. I keep my television locked in on the weather channel to find and see what's going on in the weather with the atmosphere, how it shifts. I'm mystified by the weather, how the weather moves and what the weather does. And so oftentimes I'm always letting people know before they let them know storm is coming. I'm quick to let people know, make sure you're protected, make sure you got all your stuff because a storm is coming. But even in the midst of my storm chasing, which I do from my home, I'm not one of those type of people who get out there and run behind them. But I will chase them from the comforts of my own Wi-Fi and my own television. But one of the difficulties I have about storm watching and my storm surveillance is that I do really well with the storms that happen at daytime. Because the storms at daytime, I can see the clouds. I can see the limbs. I can see the rain. I can see where the lightning, I can see the direction storm is coming from. But I often have some difficulty with storms that come in the nighttime. Because the storms at the nighttime, you hear them, you experience them, but you cannot see them. And those storms you can't see seem to be louder at night. Like the wind blows a little harder at night. The rainfall sounds a little different on your roof at night than it does in the daytime. It's like nighttime storms just have a lot more intensity than the daytime storms. And sometimes I stay up and listen to it and see where it's going and see, I try to track between the lightning and the thunder to determine how far away the storm is. There's a little equation you can work out to determine how far the storm is from you between the distance of time between the lightning and the thunder. And I sit up all night, and sometimes the storm gets severe and your phone will go off and it'll alert you, it'll shock you because a storm is there. Wake you up out of your sleep, and you're wondering when will this storm end. And you say to yourself, if we can just make it to the morning, if I can just make it to daylight, I can see what I'm dealing with. But I'm having trouble in the times of this storm when I just can't see. Because I have limited visibility. I got no problem with a storm. But I'd rather, if I had to choose a storm, I'd choose a storm that I can see, not those that I cannot see. A storm that I can see. Child of God, you're like me, that you don't mind admitting on a Sunday morning that there are some moments in your life you say to yourself, when will this storm end? When will the nighttime end? The darkness that comes with it, the loneliness that comes with it, the issues that come with it, if I can just get to morning, I'll feel a whole lot better. If I can just get to daybreak, if it can just look a little bit better than it looks right now, I'll feel a whole lot better. And today, we want to talk to you and I, those of us who don't mind admitting that there are some times in my life I just need a break. Really, y'all, it's not that the storm ends. I just need a shifting in this situation. I'd rather just be able to see where I'm going. I want to know what's coming at me. But these nighttime storms, this stuff that I'm not expecting, this stuff that keeps on coming at me out of nowhere, this stuff that comes out of the blue, this stuff that I was not prepared for, the stuff that I didn't ask for, the stuff that I didn't look for, the stuff I didn't pay for, keeps on coming, and the nighttime seems to be extending. It seems like this nightmare will never be over. When will nighttime be over and I can come to the time of day? When, if I can just make it to the night, I'll tell him I'm sorry. If I can just make it through the night, I'll feel a whole lot better. If I can just make it through the night, maybe my healing will come. If I can make it through the night, I can go to the store for myself. If I can make it through the night, because nighttime, I can't see. Nighttime, I can't find nobody. Nighttime, I can't look for nobody. Nighttime, there's nobody but me and the Lord. I need to make it through the night. Night symbolizes the difficulty. Night symbolizes the issues. Night symbolizes the problem. Night symbolizes the circumstance that you're telling folk and some that you're not telling people. It's nighttime for many of us. It's nighttime. It's where sin is rampant. It's where sickness is rampant. But watch this. You know what the Lord just shared with me a while ago? I want to say this to you parenthetically. You know, I was sitting in my seat, and you know everything in our lives right now is just based and geared off the numbers. We're based off the numbers. We just got out of election and still dealing with election stuff that's based on the numbers. Who wins? Who has more votes? The popular vote, electoral vote, percentage of vote, this state's vote, the majority or the minority. We're worrying about numbers. And now we're dealing with this pandemic and the coronavirus. It's all about the numbers. And now the numbers are going up. The numbers are spiking. The numbers are declining. It's better here, and it's getting worse there. It's good on this town. It's bad in that town. But watch this. I believe God getting ready to give some more numbers. It's going to be more numbers. It's going to be a spike in folk being saved. It's going to be a spike in people being delivered. It's going to be a spike in people being set free. While you telling everybody how bad stuff is there, how about you tell about how good God been, how God saved your soul, how he lifted you up, how he brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. The numbers are about to shift. If we can learn how to make it through the night. And you can't be what God wants you to be until you learn how to make it through the night. That everything about your existence is not strawberries and ice cream and birthday cake. That sometimes to be a child of God means you got to deal with some nighttime situations. And you know the devil works best at night. People plot on you better at night. Dirt gets done better at night where people can't see, where you have limited visibility. And some of us are prey of nighttime setups, but it did not come to fruition until day. And so today, maybe we look in the Word of God and share together. Maybe we'll all feel better and go eat a sandwich and go to sleep today. How about that? Look here, let's listen today to the Word of the Lord through David. David writes this psalm. Many don't know why David wrote it. He wrote it whether he was dedicating his own house or was he dedicating the house of the Lord. All we know is that by the time David writes this psalm, David has had some experience with God. He is still a man after God's own heart. He is still the anointed of God, but David's life sometimes didn't look like his anointing. I'm going to say that one more time because that tasted good to me. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, your anointing does not sound like your affliction. Your affliction don't match up with your anointing. But maybe I want to suggest to some of us today that the greater the anointing, the greater the affliction. Sometimes the greater the anointing, the greater the attack. So you can't be what God wants you to be until you learn how to deal with some unpopular, uncomfortable stuff. Watch this. David is not only a plague by enemies, but David has been plagued by his own sin. That David sometimes is his own worst enemy. So y'all ain't gonna shout off that. Y'all will shout off enemies. Y'all will shout off who done you wrong. You will shout off who cussed you out. But you will never want to shout about you did it. You never want to shout about I said that. You never want to shout about well, I brought that on myself. David had to learn that some of this stuff comes from the enemy and some of this stuff comes from the enemy. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. David had to deal with it, but either way it goes, David is still a man after God's own heart. And David, preparing for this worship service, David constructs this psalm. It is a psalm that is sang at church. And he begins this saying by, I'm going to praise God. I will extol God. I will lift God. I will exalt God. Why? Because he didn't let the foes, he didn't let my enemies laugh at me. They tried to plot on me. They tried to do dirt to me. But whatever they had set up, I'm still here. And sometimes, y'all, your celebration ain't the fact that people coming at you. It ain't that people talking about you. But whatever they saying, whatever they doing has not stopped you from your destiny. All they've done is talk and run their mouth. Matter of fact, they done made you more popular because they were running their mouth about you. David says, I'm going to praise God because he healed me. He says, my own sin sickness. See, in this condition, in this instance here that David is talking about, David is writing this psalm off his personal sin. He's not writing this psalm solely because God been good. He's writing this psalm because he been bad. And I wish I had some folks who don't mind saying that some of this stuff I'm dealing with is not because of the devil. Some of this stuff is because I put some stuff in motion and I got to reap what I have sown. Yeah, David says, listen, I got some enemies that I brought upon myself. He says, when I was stuck in my own sin, God did not let me stay in that. He healed me. Why? Because I cried out to him. He said, I cried, y'all missed it. I cried out to God. I'm a king. I'm anointed. I'm a dancer. I'm a worshiper. I'm a warrior. But I also know how to pray to God. I know how to talk to God. I don't mind people knowing that I need the Lord. I need the all. I need. He don't mind. He's not too much of a man to say every hour I need thee. See, some of y'all too prideful. Some of y'all got too much intellect. Some of y'all got too much prestige. But when you done dealt with enough hell, when you done dealt with enough arrows, you don't care who say something, you don't care who's looking, you will get down on your knees, you will lift your hand, you will take off that wig or whatever else you got on, and you will say, Lord, help me. David says, I cried out to the Lord, and he heard me, and he healed me. Then look what David says in verses 3 and 4. He says, listen, I was headed to hell. He said he didn't let that grave, grave symbolized in the Old Testament, Sheol. It symbolized what the New Testament would call Hades. In other words, not only has he saved me from enemies, but he saved me from hell. He has saved my soul. I owe God praise. I owe God glory. Because David says, I know what nighttime looked like. I know what difficulty looked like. I know what storms look like. I know what debt looks like. I know what grief looks like. But I'm a living witness, David says. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody touch you like Jesus. I know for myself. And David, now this is how I know David really got it. Because with this nighttime situation, ladies and gentlemen, David goes in verse 4 and he takes everything off him. He said, I want to share this. Y'all missed it. David says, I've been through all this stuff with the Lord personally. Everything I've given you in verses 1, 2, and 3 has been my personal walk with God. Wait a minute. This has been before I came to church, before I got ordained, before I got installed, even after I've been installed, even after I've been ordained, after they put me in office. There's some stuff happened to me away from the sanctuary, away from the temple, away from the tabernacle, away from the board, away from the choir, away from the praise team. In my own life, I've been going through hell, but God showed me glory. And David says, watch this. David says, watch this. He says, if y'all, David don't just keep this to himself. He goes to church and say, listen, y'all might not know, but I'm going to tell you, God is good. You ought to sing a song unto the Lord. You ought to sing praise unto God, not because you feel like it, but because he's doing. And if you ain't seen God move, if you don't know God is real, David said, I'm coming to church right now on purpose because I promise you God is real because I'm a living testimony. And I look forward to the day we're able to come back to the sanctuary and we'd be able to come to church and you won't be worried about what somebody got on. You won't be worried about who's preaching. You won't be worried about who's singing. But you're going to come with a testimony. Through these last 8 months, I saw God heal me. Through these 8 months, I saw God keep me. Through these 8 months, I saw God provide for me. You better sing a song. Oh, Lord. Sing a song. David said, listen here, I want to have church with you. I'm not just going to keep this to myself. Mm-hmm. Them same folk I told my problem to, I'm going to tell my provision to. Yeah, the same folk that saw me go down, I want them same folk to see me come up. I'm coming to church with it on my mind. I got praise on my mind. If I never get to preach, I'm going to praise him. If I never get to sing, I'm going to praise him. Because nobody know like I know what the Lord has done for me. See, sometimes we think we do this for people. I don't do this for people. I do this with people. I do this for the Lord who's been good to me. Whether you like me or not, I'm going to give him the best I got. Whether you vote me in or not, I'm going to give him the best I got. Because you don't know. David says, we better sing a song to him. He said, I want to share with y'all how good God been to me. Because some of y'all done came into the temple, David says. Y'all got your nose up in there. You ain't appreciative. It's a pandemic, David says, and God let you get to his house. And you come to his house and you ain't praised yet. David says, you acting like you don't know. So David said, I'm going to get on your nerves. You either go shout with me or you go get out. Because I'm going to make so much noise, it's going to interrupt your little picnic party. I'm going to make so much noise, you ain't going to be able to plot your plot because God been too good to me. And guess what, brother? He been good to you. Yeah. You want to shut up foolishness? Praise. Worship your way through foolishness. Worship your way through wickedness. Oh, Lord. David says, I know you can make it through the night. I'm talking, David says, I done been through the night, and I'm glad to come back to this worship encounter, David says, so I can tell y'all how good God been to me. He gives it off his personal experience, and God must have been okay with what David says because now it's in the biblical canon. So if it's good enough then, it's good enough for us now. And if you're going to make it through the night, you got to understand three things. I'm out your way. First, you got to understand the possibility of trouble. You got to understand the possibility of trouble. Verse number 5 says that his anger endures but a moment. His anger endures but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. You see a couple of words there that frighten me. It's a couple of words that the most concerning word I see is the Lord's anger. For his anger. That means his Bible says, for his anger endures but a moment. Wait a minute. It's the possibility of trouble. And watch this. Some trouble is good trouble, John Lewis, and some trouble is bad trouble, Tamale Hams. Because sometimes we get in good trouble, and then sometimes we're dealing with bad trouble. I told you a few moments ago, sometimes we're dealing with trouble for the cause of the Lord. And then sometimes we're dealing with trouble because we violated the Lord. And so sometimes we live in a way that brings about the Lord's anger. The Hebrew etymology of anger deals with the Lord's nose. Talking about the Lord's nose being flared up. That the Lord's nostrils are smoking. That the Lord is hot with us. That the Lord is upset with us. He has an anger. That the Lord shows, like the children of Israel, that God has a way to be angry. And now his anger will cause him to allow us to deal with some stuff we wouldn't have to deal with if we would just do right. I knew the shout was going to stop. Because we want to say, you know, hey, I'm the Lord's child. He always give me what I want. Sometimes, you know, the Lord is the best parent ever, because many times the Lord will whoop you. He will chastise you. He will spank you. He will correct you for his anger. David says, listen, y'all thinking, y'all scared of God. He said, watch this. His anger does exist. But watch where it's the possibility of trouble. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't fix what you won't face. And so often, there comes a point in time, get in trouble, boy, while I'm here. Some stuff you can't rebuke. Some stuff you can't deny. Some stuff you ain't got to claim. It's coming your way anyway. Whether you want to accept it or not, some stuff just go happen because we live in the world we live in. Some of it's going to be because of our own sin, and there's something because we live in society. And because we live in this world, stuff is going to happen. And I can't stand, I'm getting to a point now in my personal walk with God, I can't stand folk who too blessed to be depressed, who too anointed to be disappointed. I need to talk to some real people sometimes and say, listen, it's not the best right now, but I still thank God. I'm not going to live every day like ain't nothing going on. Sometimes my house full of hell. Sometimes my body don't feel good. Sometimes my money is funny, but I thank God anyway. Because watch this. Front for people don't help you with anything. It, matter of fact, it make it harder with you and God. Because God oftentimes will send you some help through the people you fronting for. Lord have mercy. You got a sister walking with two loaves of bread under her arm, and she asks you, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. And your stomach say, no, she's not. And instead of you saying, I sure could use a little bit of bread, and your sister, you will tell your sister because you a deacon, because you married, because you got a good job, you will front for people and not tell them the truth, and now you have missed your blessing. Learn how to be honest about your situation. Listen, the Bible says, John says in his letter epistle, confess your faults. He says, if you will confess it to God, God is faithful enough to forgive you. Y'all miss that. That's why David says his anger endures. The word endure means he just spent the night. Lord have mercy. The anger of God just stay there for a little while. The anger just hangs out for a while. Watch this. Their anger, God's anger towards us is not permanent. I thought I would see some redeemed people who could praise God off that. I thought I could see some forgiven people who could praise God off that, because you ain't always shouted. You ain't always spoken tongue. You ain't always been in church. You ain't always said the right thing. And God spares you, won't say amen, won't lift holy hands self. God saw you fake. God saw you be a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. God saw us do all that and still didn't keep it there. It's the picture of you grounding your children. You ground them for a time that you feel like is enough for them to learn their lesson. But you don't keep them in eternal punishment. Sooner or later, you let them off the hook. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. But you know what's wrong with some of us, y'all? Some of us have thought, gonna kind of switch roles like some of your kids do. When they start thinking, they run you. And they come at you a certain way as though, wait a minute now, have you forgotten who the mom is and who the child is? Have you forgotten who the daddy is and who the child is? And sometimes God got to do us like that, because we start trying to tell God what to do. We start thinking God got to do certain stuff for us. And every now and then, God will say, wait a minute. Have you forgotten about who's the creator? And have you forgotten about who's the creation? Have you forgotten who the father is and who the child is? I was God before you even knew yourself. I was there at the beginning. When I say in the beginning, I was God. Just because you don't come along don't mean you know what's going on. Because sometimes we get out of line. I think we got some hard-headed children saints in the church. Everybody want to shout out that one when your kids don't listen. But what about when you don't listen to God? God tell you, let that go? No. God tell you, forgive them? No. God says, be faithful? No. And every now and then God say, oh, you ain't gonna do what I tell you, huh? God say, I ain't gonna beg you. Mess around and try to make it yourself. Heal yourself without me. Bring yourself out without me. Deliver yourself without me. Keep trying to bypass me and create your own rules and see how far you go. And that's what's going on. In the world we live in, we got a group of people who think they're God. And God is leaving us to our own foolishness. Because instead of trusting him and loving each other, we'd rather do what he do stuff and be hateful and think we're going to do stuff in his name. Therefore, God said, I'm going to let him go and have it. And I'm going to let it endure as long as I want to. Watch this, though. Watch this. For his anger endures but a moment. Here's what I'm shouting, y'all. My thing, I'm not shouting. I can't shout out the fact that it don't last always. That there is a possibility of trouble. Troubles will come. Troubles do come. Amen. Troubles will happen in our life. You got to go and deal with that reality, that troubles will come, but no trouble is permanent. Here's my shout. The Bible says that his anger endures, not his wrath. Because anger is an emotion. Wrath is action. And I thank God that he has not done to me what I do deserve, even though he might have felt like doing it. Y'all. Okay, you done told your kids, I'll bet you the next week. Huh? I bust your head to the white meat shows. That's what your anger made you feel like you wanted to do. But because of your love for your child and the laws of the country, you don't do what you feel like doing. And thanks be to God that God could get rid of me, but he loved me too much. He could displace me, but he loved me too much. And you ought to be thanking God right now that no sin you've committed has stopped God from loving you. He still fights your battles. He still opens doors. He still closes doors. He still makes a way. He still provides. He still takes you higher. Ain't nothing like being in punishment and still be provided for. Ooh, Lord have mercy. That God is mad at us, he's angry at us, but because he loves us, I'm still going to feed you. You might not get steak for a while. But I'm going to feed you because, guess why? Because I gave a vow. I'm going to take care of mine. So I'm going to let you deal with a season because you can't handle excess. So I'm going to let you learn how to take care of stuff and learn how to be a good steward. So I'm going to let you go through a few months where you just can't find out where your money went. You try to figure out what's done happened to your money. Yeah, you try to figure out, I know I had this, and I checked my account, and I don't have it anymore. God said, I allowed that because you ain't learned the principle. Now, you sitting there running the Red Lobster. Now I'm going to see if you'll just go to the fish market. Yeah. See, because you don't understand the principle, all right? You don't understand the principle. Some of y'all bought crawfish and didn't pay bills. So God says, I'm going to let you go through a season where you don't understand. Now, them crawfish can't keep your lights on. Would you rather be in the light and eat whatever and be in the dark trying to eat crawfish? So God says, I'm not going to give you what you want because you have not learned the lesson. Now, from what you, how you treat me, how you treat when I bless you, I should cut you off. I got a right to cut you off. The sin you've committed, the stuff you done, the stuff you done said, I got a right to cut you off. But my anger don't last too long. Watch what he says. David literally says this in the first clause of verse number 5. His anger is not as long as his favor. Oh God. Let me try again. That the favor God has, the goodwill, the smile of God, God is happier with you longer than he's upset with you. For his favor is life. In other words, it lasts a lifetime. Watch what the devil doing to you, though. The devil is doing to us, he's making us think that God's anger is longer than God's favor. Because he's making us live in the moment to where we think this storm is lasting longer than God. That God's blessings ain't good enough because all you see is the nighttime. All you see is the problem. All you see is what you did wrong. And so he's making it look like you'll never get out of this. And that God has abandoned you. Because some punishments, it's like, will I ever get free? And so he don't want you to do this. See, this is what we got to do. We got to start recalling how good God been. Watch this. Because while I'm complaining, while I'm dealing with his anger, I got a roof over my head. He's angry at me, but he still got, I got clothes on my back. He's angry, and I still got people in my life. He's angry. I can feel pain some people can't feel. All right, now, here's the blessing. Here's the blessing. And I'm going to move on. This, what I told you about, the primary part of this first clause of verse 5 deals with man's sin and the consequences of his or her sin. Y'all with me? And God promises to still bless his children and take care of his children even when they committed sins. That even sin consequences will not last forever. That's a good shout, isn't it? That's a good shout. So it serves good reason. It serves cause to pause here and think for a moment. Learn how to be an analytical, critical thinker here. Watch this. If God gonna be good to me when I did it, if God gonna take care of me even when I've sinned, what will he do if I ain't done nothing to nobody? What about the stuff I did not bring about? What about the stuff I did not cause? What about the stuff I did not put into motion? What about the stuff that just kind of just snuck up on me? If God will take care of me through stuff I did, certainly he'll take care of me through stuff I did not do. Y'all missed it. All right. It's the possibility of trouble. Look at it. Look at it. For his anger endures. Endure means, once again, it just kind of stay for a minute. Endure don't mean it lasts. Endure mean we got to put up with him. Anger got to put up with us. We ain't got to put up with anger. But in his favor is life, or he loves me for a lifetime. His goodness outweighs my punishment. Right? All right? And now if you really understand this, you're starting to see this is going to go beyond my existence even here on earth. All right. Watch this. Now watch this. Then he says, weeping may. The weeping that comes along with the anger, because it's got to make you do something. A good whooping ought to make you do something. Matter of fact, y'all get mad when your children don't cry, because it makes you feel like you ain't whooping them good enough. Oh, you ain't going to cry, huh? Now you out of breath trying to make them cry, and you've forgotten about the punishment. Lord, I got some abusive saints in here, don't I? Because your focus is on the crying and not the punishment. Oh, you ain't going to cry. And then when they cry, shut up all that crying. What you want me to do, mama? Which one you want me to do? You tell me what you want me to do, I'll do it. Because if I don't cry, you get mad. If I cry, you tell me shut up. Now, we got to meet each other halfway somewhere here now. I got some abusive saints up in here, don't I? Ooh-wee, shame on y'all whooping your children like that. Watch this. Watch this. The weeping that comes with the anger may endure for a night. Weeping may endure for a night. That a word endure goes again. It's just going to stay there for a night. The weeping, it's not even the punishment. It's your feelings about what you're dealing with. Watch this. Watch this. Right now, I'm talking to people who are dealing with more fear than sickness. You are afraid. You're not afraid of the sickness. You're afraid of what the sickness can do to you. So not only are you dealing with symptoms, but you're dealing with the feelings associated with symptoms. Can I prove it to you? Since we heard about COVID, we're afraid to cough. We're afraid to sneeze. Not only do we think about ourselves, we don't want nobody else thinking. So you excuse yourself and you go outside and because you don't want nobody to see you, because you don't want to deal with the feelings that are associated with the symptoms. And now many of us, even those of us are frustrated today, some of us who have the virus have no symptoms. So now you got feelings about not even feeling. If I'm sick, at least let me feel sick. How am I told I'm sick and I got no symptoms? It's a frustration. It's an anger. Who is God ministering to right now when something's been put on you and now you got to deal with the feelings that come along with what's been placed on you? So today, sometimes our nighttime is not about the storm. It's about the fact you can't go to sleep because of the storm. Because you're waiting on the storm to be over. Now, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 121 that the Lord, a God of Israel, neither slumbers nor sleeps. So we decide we're going to sit up and watch and see if he's really true, I guess. Because if God ain't sleeping, why won't I? But it's because of the feelings and emotions that we have along with it. So the weeping endures for a night, in addition to dealing with the anger that's coming for the night. Because right now, I believe I'm talking to folk who are hung up on emotions. You don't even know what you're mad about anymore. You're so used to trouble that you just stay mad. You won't celebrate God because you're worrying about what next. What's the next thing going to happen? It's always, think about our language. It's always something. When it rains, but what rain doesn't pour? So look at what we place on it, and we make the nighttime worse on ourselves because of the feelings associated. One failure, one disappointment, now everybody is going to disappoint me. One heartbreak, everybody's going to break my heart. It didn't go my way one time, it'll never go my way. Not that you don't have the intelligence, not that you don't have love, but because this one thing tore you up, you ain't let go of the feelings. And the problem is, days have passed by. But you're so focused on night, you don't even see day. That's how the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, but Egypt was not out of them. Because God can bring you out, but until you take your mind and your heart and soul out, it does no good. I'm a night owl. I'm up all night, sleep during the day. Some of us spiritually are night owls. We try to make ourselves busy during the day, and then at nighttime, I try to sleep my way through it, but I can't, so I sit and do something else. Because you're afraid of what night represents for you spiritually. Here comes something else. Here comes some other trouble. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Watch this. It's the possibility of trouble. But then second thing you got to understand, I got to move, I got to hurry. The second thing you got to understand about if you're going to get through the night, if you're going to make it through the night, you got to understand the first thing is the possibility of trouble. Then secondly, you got to appreciate the point of transition. There's a point of transition. I'm going to try one more time because you ain't got it yet. There is the possibility of trouble coming when it comes to your nighttime. But every last one of us have a point of transition. Transition means something's going to change. Where does it change in the text, preacher? I'll tell you in just a minute. Weeping may endure for a night, but. Weeping may endure for a night. Trouble's coming to my life. I feel some grief. I'm going through financial hardship. I'm going through an issue with my body. I'm dealing with sickness. I'm dealing with divorce. Somebody broke my heart. But ought to make you shout when you don't even feel like shouting, because but is always a transitional word. It's a transitional conjunction that tells you what's going on before cannot happen afterwards. Otherwise, there will not be a but. Lord, have mercy. I told you the other day, start thanking God for your butt. You better learn to thank God for your butt. Weeping may endure for a night, but it's a transitional word. It's saying that something's getting ready to shift. Something's getting ready to take place. Something's getting ready to go a little higher. Something's got to go different. It's got to be an opposite reaction to what took place beforehand. I done cried. I done weep. I've mourned. I done suffered long enough, and God will send a but to my situation. This is what you got to stop doing. You got to stop putting buts on the but God gave you. We don't need two buts in your blessing. Your blessing only has room enough for one but. When God say but, don't you say but God. If God brings the but, don't you say, well, but God. No. But God. Because in the place of but is God already. That means that God was there when I went in it. And God is there at the middle, and God's going to be there at the end. If I see a butt in the middle of my situation, that means God knew I was going to go through it. That means God was presiding over my situation from the get-go. He's just not my God on the mountain. He's my God in the valley. Weeping may endure for a night. It's a transition. See, y'all got to appreciate. I thought I was going to have about 4 or 5 people get excited that, yeah, I'm dealing with pain. Yeah, I don't like what I'm dealing with, but there's a but in this. Woo, it's a but. There's a but in this. That means that whatever it is will not last always. I'm going to hang in there long enough for my but. Keep waking up in the morning, but it's coming. Keep on sowing, but it's coming. Keep on loving people, but it's coming. Keep on reading the Bible, but it's coming. Keep on praying, but. Now watch this. It's a transition, not substitution. It's a transition. That means it's going to be a transformation, not substitution. Substitution puts the same thing in that place. But God is about to shift not only the situation, but God's about to shift you as well as the situation. Because you got to be different to receive something different. You got to start looking at stuff different to receive something different. Ain't no sense in God doing something new and you ain't changed your mind. You ain't changed your heart. But, and maybe you're in this so long because you hadn't changed. Maybe some of us are making night last longer because we ain't changing. It's a pandemic and you still grouchy. You said you don't like being around a lot of people. Now you at home. Now you want to be around people. We'll bring you around people. I don't want to get too close. We'll give you a mask. You want your own mask. Maybe the problem ain't masks. Maybe the problem ain't social distance. Maybe the problem is you don't like people. And until you learn how to handle your heart and deal with that, it don't matter what comes your way. Maybe it's me. It took you being away from people to see that's what you really want to be. Now you can't be here to let us know you don't want to be here. I don't care. Now I don't want to be here. It's transition. And maybe we're in a place of transition. Watch this. And here's the thing I love about this but in this text. It don't really just shout out at you. It's just placed in the text. Y'all missed it. See, you keep running, looking, waiting on but to come in a great big way. But is already there. Sometimes you just got to live to the butt. Stay long enough till you get to the butt. Hold on till you get to the butt. Watch this. But, joy. Missed it. Because weeping endures for the night. The crying, the emotions, the struggles, the fear, the anger, all that stuff, it lasts for a moment. But that means it's two-sided. Because joy, true joy, because it's a difference between happiness and joy. Can I shape y'all and not shout you? There's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness has to be created from some external. Problem we got is that joy had to come from within. Joy is one aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Joy comes from within. So if you ain't saved, you're not spiritual minded, you're going to focus on happiness and not joy. And then the problem is we sometimes try to put happiness where joy should be, and then that means everybody got to make you happy. And you can never make anybody else happy. You don't know how to encourage yourself. We got to spend time encouraging you because your focus is on happiness. But the moment you're not around us sitting there telling you how great you are, everybody sitting there sugarcoating stuff with you, everybody patty-caking you, when you go home, you go back to depression because you have no joy. You're focused on happiness. But true, you'll know you're starting to get true joy when you're at home and the devil try to sense up your head and you start remembering the butt. You start saying, I cancel that assignment now in the name of Jesus. Let me open up these curtains. Let me go get some fresh air. Let me go get an ice cream cone. Matter of fact, I'm just going to shout right now. Thank you! Because true joy don't come from people. It comes from Jesus. Because there comes a point in time, people can't be there with you at all times just to make you happy. Sometimes you got to have to make yourself. Come here, David. You got to encourage yourself. And you got the joy within to do that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Watch this. But joy cometh in the morning. The place of transition, technically, if you look at what, chronos, look at time as it is, midnight is the place between night and morning. Missed it. Midnight is the time frame. It's the place of transition. It's the time when it goes from, like today, it'll be from the 15th to the 16th. It's going to transition. I might be the same person, but the day going to be different. Whether I'm the same or not, the day going to change. Woo-hoo! And everything that comes with that day is shifted except me. But watch this, watch this. Here's what I love about the Lord. The place of transition is midnight. Midnight, chronologically, 60 seconds. Missed it. You mean to tell me that theoretically, if I can just hold on 60 seconds. Because regardless of if it's still dark at 12:02, every time I see 12:02, it symbolizes it's a new day. And whatever it is coming after 12:02 is going to be different than I saw at 11:59. If I can just hold on for 60 seconds to 12:01, it's a brand new day. Watch this. Watch this. It's the possibility of trouble. It's the place of transition. And then it's the promise of a treasure. If I can make it through the night, there's a treasure, watch this, that I ain't waiting on. It's a treasure that's waiting on me. Y'all missed it. Why don't we have any joy? You ain't pursuing your treasure. Because joy has met her appointment. Joy waiting on you to get over yourself. Get over that pity party and come to where the meeting place to find her a him. Joy cometh. Watch this. You know what I love about God? He gives us responsibility, doesn't he? God gives us responsibility and our own blessing. Stop trying to make joy come in weeping. Joy will not come in weeping season. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. There's a time for everything. But when it's time to get yourself together, when it's time to stand up, when it's time to be what God calls you to be, you can't bring old stuff into your new season. But joy cometh in the morning. Watch this. You mean to tell me I got a promise given to me, y'all, that while I'm weeping, I can handle it while I'm weeping because I know weeping ain't the end. Too many of us give up while I'm weeping. And just because you cried on me, you ain't got to deal with the weeping. Deal with that process. Get to your butt. Go to your blessing. But joy, singing, laughter, fellowship. I said I'm going to say that word no more. Fellowship. Splendor. Giving. The love that comes with it. The exuberance comes in the morning. David said, listen, I was lost. I know what it's like to mess up. I know what it's like to go through. Some stuff in my life, I did it. Some stuff in my life, the devil did it. But no matter if I did it or the devil, God kept me through it. And I know that you're dealing with something right now, and it feels like it'll never be over with. I know you're dealing with something right now that you're saying, preacher, you don't know how long I've been dealing with this. God's word for you is keep on waking up. Keep on stepping. Keep on walking. Keep on believing. Keep on loving. Joy is coming. It's the picture of our life away from God. That when we did not know God, there was reason to be weeping. Because we were headed for hell. But Jesus, y'all missed it. But Jesus took my place and he transitioned me from a sinner to a saint. And now I got joy in my heart, joy in my soul. And watch this, even though I'm scared, I ain't gonna be scared always. Even though I'm afraid, I'm gonna get courage. Watch this, cause this joy I have, the world didn't give it. And the world can't take it away. Let me leave you with this. Let me leave you with this. It's the picture. I didn't hear you too long. It's the picture of a woman. Ooh, I'm trying to get it out. It's the picture of a woman who's been pregnant for 9 months. And because of the sin of man in Genesis, woman must endure some labor pains in order to bring forth a baby. Y'all with me? Stay with me. I'm about to shout out of my shoes. But when God allows the mother to bring forth the baby that caused her so much pain to get out, God don't give you a new baby. He uses the same baby that caused your pain. And now because the pain don't last, the same baby gives me joy. The same baby gives me laughter. I love on the baby. I love on him. I rock him. I nurture. I feed. I don't get a new baby. I don't take the memories of the pain. Because the pain, it was only temporary. It was a lot of pain. It was a lot of struggling, but I'm trying to give birth to something that's bigger than the pain. And I don't get rid of what God brought out of me. I use it now because I'll never deal with that kind of pain again. I don't throw it away because every time I see you, I think about my pain. Every time I see you, I see them 18 hours I spent hurting. You start seeing the beauty of it. And you start saying to yourself, watch this. I'm going to tell you. If you love people you love right, I bet you every mama done this. If you halfway a mama. I ain't say all the way. If you're a halfway mama, this is what you done done. You start forgetting about the pain and look at that baby and say, it was worth it. All the crying, it was worth it. Because what I got now, I did not have before. Look what pain gave me. Look what struggling gave me. Look what suffering gave me. Look what going through gave me. Look at what contractions gave me. Look at what a process gave me. If I hadn't had a pain, I never would have had a baby. If I could just make it through the night, you will see God produce something in you that the bitterness associated with the pain will no longer matter. When you see God starting to take that mourning and make it to joy, you put those ashes away and you start changing your clothes, take that sackcloth off, and you put on some new clothes, you'll start saying, it ain't worth all the complaining I was doing. I thought that was the worst thing I went through in my life, but guess what? I went through it. And I got something better than I had. And look where it came from. It came from within. Everything I was looking for, I already had within me. What you need to make it through the night, God has already deposited in you. And allow yourself to go through the pain, through the discomfort, through the temporary discomfort, because and focus on what's going to come from the pain. Oh, God. Oh, glory. Because God, only God has a way to bring M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G to M-O-R-N-I-N-G. From morning to morning. All for Jesus to you now. Ain't no need to worry what the night is gonna bring. It'll be all over in the morning. Ain't no need to worry what the night is gonna bring. It'll be all over in the morning. In the morning. Morning. It'll be all over in the morning. In the morning, morning. It'll be all over in the morning. I gotta do it one more time. In the morning. Morning, it'll be all over. Hang in there. Stay with him. Don't leave him. Trust the process. This too shall pass. I'm so glad this morning. The trouble doesn't last always. What a treasure God is going to make through your life. Through every struggle, every hardship, every consequence, caused or uncaused, all things work together for the good of them who love God, who are called according to his purpose. I offer Jesus to you now. There will be no joy, no...
We hope Pastor Ham's message blessed you, and if you'd like a copy of this CD,